On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
All right, question number one for you. Who originally performed the song You're No Good, covered by Van Halen?
You're No Good. Oh, was it?
And it's not Linda Ronstadt.
What, you just took my answer.
I know I did.
Uh-huh. I love that song. It's probably...
Yep. It's probably... It's a total different version from Linda Ronstadt to Van Halen. But...
It's probably some 60s girls group, right?
Yes.
I'm going to say the Marvelettes.
No, it was actually not a girl group. It was Dee Dee Warwick in 1963.
Wow, okay.
And then there have been probably 50 covers of that song.
Now, Dee Dee Warwick, is she related to Dionne Warwick?
I don't know.
Okay. That's not really hard rocking, Danny.
The Van Halen version is.
Okay, absolutely the Van Halen version is. Okay, Dee Dee Warwick. Yeah, I'm going to get that one. Okay, smart.
That's the one I didn't think you'd get.
You're
and
right.
I brought this up, and I brought my questions up to my brother last night, and he was like, the Van Halen song, You're No Good. I don't know that one. I even played it for him. He was like, no, I don't know it. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Well, your brother was never that hardcore, you know?
No.
He just wasn't.
No, so I gave him a break, but he said, you're going to bring this up on the show, aren't you? It's like, yeah, probably.
Absolutely, Tony. You embarrassed yourself around the world on Hard Rock and Trivia Show. You didn't know You're No Good by Van Halen.
Yeah, sad.
Disappointed.
Disappointment.
Yes, okay. Question one for you. Okay, currently, how many original members of the band Hardline are currently in the touring lineup of Journey?
Hardline.
Hot Cherie, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I know Neil Sean. Dean Castronovo. And I'm going to guess the bass player.
Who's the bass player?
So three. I don't know. Somebody, Gioli?
No, Gioli, that was the lead singer.
Okay.
The Gioli brothers were in the band, too. Well, I guess I can give you a half point. You're right. Okay. The answer is, well, I asked you how many original members. Yes, it's three. Neil Sean, Dean Castronovo, and the bass player is Todd Jensen.
Okay.
Who's currently...
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten the name.
Yeah, was Marco Mendoza... It was supposed to be Randy Jackson, but I guess he's got some back problems. Then Marco Mendoza filled in, and now Todd Jensen... And they're doing a Vegas residency.
Yeah.
They sound great. They have another keyboard player in the band who can also sing Steve Perry songs.
I saw that video. He was doing, what was the song he was doing? It's like, damn.
It was like Girl Can't Help It, I think.
No, I saw him do a different one.
Yeah, but it was one of the songs from that album.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess when they give Arnell, a break, I guess Dean and... whoever that keyboard player is will sing some lead.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen Dean sing Mother, Father, so good, man.
So you get the point.
All right. Nice. I'll take it.
Oh, damn you.
Take as many as I can get.
Well, I think you're going to win to again.
Again.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Now, question number two for you. You might get this one. What song holds the Guinness Book of World Records as the most recorded song? And it has over 1,600 verified recordings.
I'm going to guess Happy Birthday.
No, that's not really that's not a good answer. So okay. It's an actual song. I'll give you a hint. It's a Beatles song.
It's Yesterday.
That is correct.
Do I get a half point?
No, I'll give you the point. Because Happy Birthday, nobody records that.
You'd be surprised.
Can you pull up a recording? Happy Birthday by the Beatles is not Happy Birthday to You.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I didn't get the gist of the question.
No, well, I'll give you a point for that one.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Your question. Question number two. Scorpions are about to release a new album called Rock Believer. Name all the musicians who have been guitarists in Scorpions since the first album came out.
How much time have we got?
No, just the guitarists.
Just the guitarists, not bass guitar.
Nope, just the guitar players. It's not as many as you think.
All right, I'll go with, there's Michael Schenker, Rudy Schenker, Uli John Roth, the guy.
You got one more. What's his name?
Matthias Jabs.
Incorrect pronunciation.
I get the point.
It's Matthias Jabs.
Okay, well, I'm taking that point.
It's not Matthias Jabs. Matthias Jabs. Come on. Yes, you get the point. You got two.
Really? Those are the only four?
Yeah, guitar players, because if you want to throw them, they haven't that many bass players. Yeah, I think three, but if you want to count drummers, it was like eight or nine.
Yeah.
In a boatload. And they've only had one lead vocalist.
Wow. Yep.
So we got that right. Damn you.
Okay, nice. I'm two for two.
Two for two.
So here's question three for you. If you get it, we're tied. Okay, this is the one I thought you'd get. What Cheap Trick album, studio album, charted highest in the U.S.?
Oh, studio album. I'm going to say Dream Police.
That would be correct.
Yes.
It peaked at number six.
Okay, and I thought, because I'm wondering if At Budokan went higher, even though it's a live album. But
I don't know. I should have looked that up to see if it was actually higher, but this, I was just looking at all their studio albums.
So the pressure was on me, but now it's on you. Question number three. When the Alice Cooper Band broke up, Alice Cooper went solo. The other four guys formed their own band and released an album. What was the name of the band?
Oh, God. School's Out. I have no idea.
You were very close, because it was the name of an album. They were called the Billion Dollar Babies.
Oh, man.
And that album sucks.
No doubt.
And
you know who the talent of the band was.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, when the band was in their heyday, they all wrote together.
Yeah.
But, Alice solo went on to be a monster, and the Alice Cooper guys, the other guys. So we tied 2-2 in
2-2
rapid fire. And I got
my brother had a question that he heard somewhere, and he couldn't verify the answer. And I don't know if I believe the answer or not, but the question was, which rock singer has fronted the most bands?
And he didn't have an answer?
No, he had an answer. I just don't know if it's right. I went on and looked, and there were a couple people that said other answers, but I would believe this one.
Okay.
His answer was Sammy Hagar.
I think guys like Jeff Scott Soto have fronted more bands.
That was my answer.
And who else was fronting? I think Joe Lynn Turner.
Yep.
Or maybe even Glenn Hughes. Glenn Hughes has probably fronted more bands.
Yeah, I think all those guys are probably like 8, 9, 10 bands. He said Sammy Hagar had 10. I don't know that I could come up with 10.
Oh, let me
see. But Joe Lynn Turner had 9. And I started naming off all the Jeff Scott Sotos, and I think I saw my brother kind of switch off. I think the light inside died at that point.
He thought he had something there.
Yeah. Oh. But you figure Jeff Scott Soto, he's got so many different bands. I mean, he fronted Journey for a while. He fronted Soul Circus, Soto, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Talisman.
Yeah.
Humanimal. Then Sammy Hagar, though, he had...
Montrose, Van Halen, HSAS.
The Waburritos.
Yeah, but that's really... Is that really a band? Sammy Hagar and the Waburritos? Just like Sammy Hagar and the Circle?
I would say the Circle's a different band, just like Chickenfoot.
But the Waburritos is more of a solo band.
I think that's his... The Waburritos are his backup band.
Yeah, they are, but that's I don't consider that for him. It's still, that's more Sammy Hagar solo, so whoever came up with that.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Kiss my grits, you know.
But definitely the Circle and Chickenfoot.
I'm trying to think of other guys. I mean, look, Glenn Hughes, Trapeze, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath.
The Dead Daisies.
Dead Daisies. What was the other one? Oh, Hughes Thrall.
Yeah.
Me? I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to go through and, you know, really research it. Mike, just looking it up real quick, those were the guys, Jolynn Turner, Jeff Scott Soto, Sammy Hagar was mentioned. Les Claypool was mentioned. I'm like, no. No, he may be the front guy, but he's not the singer. And you can't count these little jazz one-off things.
I know a guy, if you want to get guys in the most bands, it was probably be the drummer, guy from Dream Theater.
Oh, Mike Portnoy.
Portnoy's in a lot of bands at the same time.
Yeah.
And they just really release a bunch of albums, and they're all different, too.
Think how many Billy Sheehan's been in.
Yeah, lately it's been quite a bit.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, I don't know. It might be an interesting question to research, but...
But I'm not going to do it right now because I got to eat dinner soon here. So,
I just got to notice, and this is so you people will know that we do record this the day of or the day before we put it out, that Bob Saget just died.
Really?
Yeah. He was found dead in a Florida hotel room. He was 65.
Yeah, Bob Saget, I wouldn't think. Yeah, because all these guys are dying lately. But him, it's got to be drug-related, I would think.
Yeah, I know he was in and out of rehab.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about Bob Saget. Everybody thought he was that clean-cut guy on, what did he have?
Full House.
Full House. But if you ever saw a stand-up, he was the most filthy comic out there.
Oh, absolutely. I was listening to it on Sirius one time. I was like, holy, this is the Full House guy?
Yeah, I mean, to the point where it's a little too much.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, dude.
We get it. You know all the bad words.
Bob Saget. Wow, 65. He's not that much older than us.
Ooh. No. Okay, don't go to Florida hotel rooms.
Yeah, not planning on it. But you're going to Florida.
Yeah, I'm going to Florida next week.
Stay at the hotels.
Yeah, I'm staying with my mother-in-law, so hopefully I won't be found dead.
Wow.
Oh, she loves me, so I don't think so.
Oh, that's a good thing. And if you guys are tired of listening to Danny Wynn every week, he's in for a rude awakening on episode 201.
Hey, just because I got some this time.
Yeah.
Who
knows what our winning percentage is? We don't keep track of that crap. Sometimes I do great. Sometimes I stink. Sometimes we both do great. Sometimes we both stink. You just never know.
Oh, we went 0 for 12 one time.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Yes. We both thought the other would do much better than we did, but I guess we caught each other on off days.
Yeah, I guess. Good thing we don't call ourselves experts.
No. We went to a brew pub down in Maryland last night, and they were advertising for rock trivia coming up in the next few days, or next week, I think. And my brother was like, oh, we got to get you down here. I mean, you don't do a podcast for rock trivia for nothing. Well, yeah, I do it for nothing. But
yeah.
Yeah. We would totally win. I'm like,
It depends on what they ask. Yeah. You know, if they ask about Dave Matthews questions, we'd be stumped.
Yeah.
Or Bruce Springsteen's like, I don't know. Depends on what they do. I remember I went to my friend works in Simi Valley, and he's a rock geek too. And I guess two different schools, junior highs, got together and had like a music trivia night for fun. And he brought me, and they had this one little segment where they would play the beginning of a song, and you'd have to guess the song. So I was with this group of people, and they were playing mostly stuff that I didn't know. But then when they switched to the 70s, they started playing the first click in Slow Ride by Foghat, and they went, Foghat. And they just, like, what? How'd you get off of that? I go, I just know the way it sounds.
God, you're like a super genius.
Yeah, but when they started talking about 90s pop, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah.
Or anything released in the last 20 years on, you know, pop radio, I couldn't tell you.
No. No. No, you don't know the Her song?
No. I know who The Weeknd is, okay? That's about it.
The Weeknd. Oh, God. I hate that so much.
Ariana Grande, I know what she looks like. I couldn't tell you a song. I don't know any of those people.
I hate her as a person.
Really?
All the stuff is seen on her on YouTube and stuff. Just, she's not a good person.
No, I don't know, because my kids watch her on some Nickelodeon show she was on years ago. I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah. We watch that show all the time.
You do?
We did.
Oh.
Our daughters watched it all the time. She was on there. There were a couple girls that could really sing. I'm just shocked she was the one that made it huge.
I don't know.
Victoria Justice was on there.
Yeah.
I think it was called Victorious.
Yes. In fact, that girl, Victoria Justice, went to Cleveland High School right next to where I used to work.
Nice.
Yeah, she didn't last long. I guess she got bullied and left.
Jeez. You know. Whatever.
Yeah, that's happened before. All right, on that note, I can't believe we're talking about Victoria Justice. What the heck is wrong with us?
That is not hard rock.
We're gonna get investigated for being creeps.
We're going to get our rock card revoked.
Yeah, it's probably already revoked. It's probably in process right now. So,
yeah.
So.
The Hard Rocking Trivia Show is 100% free. The hosts of the show make absolutely nothing for doing the show. It's done for the love of the music they grew up with.
Dad asked me almost every time I talk to him when we're putting a new show out.
Tell him every other Monday.
Yeah, that's what I tell him. I'm like, we're doing like every 2 weeks now. And he's like, you know, I kind of like that Aerosmith's first album.
Well, go listen to it.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, Dad, you knock yourselves out. He said, do you think I'd like the Montrose? I'm like, no, I don't, but... It's an awesome album, but I don't think you'll like it.
Tell them about Spotify.
No. Shit. You know how much I don't want to be his tech support?
I'm surprised he listens. And he's like, ooh. Maybe it's his way getting close to you. Who knows?
Probably. I don't know. Whatever.
I'd be curious to what friends and family actually listen to us.
Yeah, who knows? My dad is the only one I can think of. Oh. So, well, there's a couple of friends up here that listen.
And your wife when she's on, right?
Yeah.
When I'm on, I'm listening.
Yeah, tell me when I'm going to be on, and I'll listen to it. Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
How about your husband's on the whole time? But
no.
Yeah. If you enjoy the show, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a review and rate the show. The more positive reviews we receive, the more listeners we can attract to the show. If you give us a 5-star rating, we will be sure to thank you on the show.
Okay, Danny, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the, there's a new show on HBO Max called Peacemaker. You familiar with this one at all?
No, I haven't, I don't know that I've even heard of it.
Are you familiar with the Suicide Squad?
Yeah, I didn't watch the movies, but I did... You know, I know about them.
Yeah, Suicide Squad. There's actually two Suicide Squad movies. The first one has the Joker and Harley Quinn, and Will Smith is in it. It wasn't that great. It was okay. But there's a second one called The Suicide Squad movie, not The Suicide Squad, which was a lot better. And it's from a DC comic characters. And yeah.
Can
you
watch the second one without watching the first?
Yes. In fact, all right. That one's on HBO Max as well, called The Suicide Squad. It's a comedy / comic book movie where they take these villains and they actually turn them into kind of heroes. It's really silly. And John Cena, who's the wrestler, plays the character called the Peacemaker.
Okay.
So that's where the TV show The Peacemaker comes from. And why am I bringing up The Peacemaker? Which is that's a funny show. There's four episodes so far. It's on HBO Max, like I said before. But the cool thing about this show is whoever does the music for this show, and I think it's this guy named James Gunn, he also did those two movies. Oh, my God. What was the name of it? It's got the raccoon in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love those movies.
Yeah, and, the music from that movies. What's the name of the damn movies? And they're Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's it.
And,
great movies.
And I guess that guy did a lot of 70s AM hits.
Oh, yeah. And great soundtrack.
Fantastic. So apparently the same guy is doing The Peacemaker. But this guy must be a fan of the music I listen to and you listen to as well, because the theme song is done by Wigwam. What's going on? Let's come down.
You're kidding.
Do You Want to Taste It is the theme song from the Peacemaker show.
So that's cool.
So, yeah, they do this whole number where there's a dance routines, and it's really funny in the beginning. But the music throughout the four episodes has popped up. Let me just give you a sampling. Foxy's Shazam, Welcome to the Church of Rock and Roll, Nashville Pussy, Y&T, The Poodles, The Choir Boys, and Tiger Tales are all played in the first episode. Can you believe that?
That I wonder if he listens to our show.
He should, because other stuff he's played, Choir Boys again, he did 7 o'clock, which we did on our show.
Yeah.
And we
mentioned Foxy Shazam a few weeks ago.
Right. He's also done Don't Treat Me Bad by Firehouse.
Great song.
Kissing Dynamite, 6 Feet Under.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Can you believe this is on a big show, music like this?
I wonder if... I hope people are noticing and taking, going, watching the credits at the end saying, who was that?
Well, it's not even on the credits, but I guess there's lots of posts and everybody's talking about it. And the last one, they had Vane Beat the Bullet, Pretty Boy Floyd, Faster Pussycat, House of Pain. And the music's really featured in the show. It's a big part of it.
Wow.
So it's getting that's
very cool.
Yeah, I just saw some more post this morning about it, like everybody's talking about it, like, oh my god. I'm like, well, maybe there's a little resurgence. This guy's definitely a fan of bands from Finland, Sweden, and the Scandinavians and Norway. I mean, come on, Wigwam is featured every week. It's the theme song.
Wow. who knows who Wigwam is?
Only people in Norway, Sweden, and Finland and us. Yeah, Do You Want to Taste It? And it's really catchy. Do You Want to Taste It? So, yeah, nice. It was bizarre because I didn't even know about this until I started watching the show, because I saw the movie and I watched the show. I'm like, oh, this, and it's really funny, too. It's goofy funny.
I'll definitely watch it.
And the main character in the first episode, I guess, I'll kind of spoil alert. He accidentally, he's in a room where somebody gets killed, and the person was a fan of 80s metal, so he steals all these Pretty Boy Floyd albums. And all the albums he's pulling out, he goes, I got that, I got that, I got that, I got that. So he puts them in a bag and he's trying to escape with all the cassettes and the albums of bands that we listen to.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah.
Nice. I will definitely check that out.
And it's
else for the music.
And it's funny too.
But I like John Cena, and I like the Marvel type movies.
Yeah.
When this pandemic first began, that was the first thing I did was I watched every Marvel movie, and I went online and asked what the order of the movies you should watch. And there's a couple different opinions, but there's one main thread that seemed to be pretty consistent. So I went with that, and great, great movies.
Now, these
movies, everybody said, don't watch the Hulk. So I didn't.
There's a couple Hulk movies. One was okay, and one sucked.
Yeah.
But this is all DC stuff. And now the whole DC hub is on HBO Max, so you can see that's all hit and miss, too. Some of the Batman movies are great. Some of the Superman movies, good, bad. You know, you just never know. The Suicide Squad, the first one was bad. The second one was good. You just never know.
Yeah.
And just to show you about the Suicide Squad, the main monster in the Suicide Squad movie, the second one, was a giant starfish. And it's,
what's his name, Patrick?
No. Okay. But it could have been, you know. It was, and it's just really out there.
A giant starfish, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's along the lines of the Guardians of the Galaxy, that kind of stuff.
Well, I really like those movies, so I'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely up your alley. And our listeners, it's up your alley as well. Oh, yeah. You wanted to mention somebody who passed away recently.
Yeah, I was bummed. I mean, it's incredible how many people have died just this year alone. But I was really bummed to hear Meatloaf passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and to find out he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But
of course not.
Yeah, I mean, he had, like, I think it's the fourth best-selling album of all time.
Yeah, Bat Out of Hell, it's a classic. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, for him not to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm sure he'll get in as, like, you know, oh, he died, he gets some attention this year, so they'll put him in. But that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, well, you have to put in Jim Steinman, who passed away last year, too. He's the one who wrote all that stuff. So they're a duo for sure.
I would think they'd be a pair. They'd go in together. I mean, but, you know, you got the songs on one side and you got the theatrics and the performance on the other side. But to me, with Meatloaf, those go hand in hand. So I would put them both in.
Yeah. Did you know who played guitar on his first tour?
Bruce Kulick.
Yep. For sure. Absolutely. Did you ever get to see him live?
No.
I did. Some of the Irvine. It's probably after that Bat Out of Hell 2 came out and he had his little resurgence there.
Yeah.
Oh, he was fantastic. He was great.
Oh, everybody said, you know, you had to have seen him, and, you know, he was in like 40-something movies.
Yeah, good actor, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic singer. I mean, the guy was amazing.
Yeah.
And who's his daughter married to?
Scott Ian from Anthrax.
Yeah, see, a little trivia for you people out there. So Meatloaf has lots of ties to hard rock and heavy metal. And he just seemed like a good guy, just a good old boy from Texas.
Yeah, you see a lot of interviews and stuff with him, or, you know, YouTube videos of him just going down like a red carpet kind of thing. And he seems like a great guy, just very down to earth. I just wonder if he did the whole, he was a no-vaxxer kind of guy or whatever. But
I don't know. I just think, you know, he's like, he was in bad health. He had some health underlying health conditions, you know.
Yeah.
He's a big guy like us. And, you know, it just got to him.
He had slimmed down some the past bunch of years, but he was big for a while.
Yeah, I think he was 74 when he passed.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, that's a bummer, but I just wanted to mention it on this show because, I mean, he may not be hard rock, but it's close enough.
Well, if you want to listen to Meatloaf on a hard rock album, he's featured. He sings half the lead vocals on Ted Nugent's Free For All album. So he was almost the lead singer of Ted Nugent.
Wow. That would have been interesting.
Yep. So he was there. They were going to all sit to hire him, and they brought the old guy back.
Derek St. Holmes?
Yeah, Derek St. Holmes was really the voice of Ted Nugent. So the Meatloaf stuff is good, but Derek St. Holmes would just fit better with Ted Nugent's guitar.
Yeah, I don't know how it would be with Ted Nugent and Meatloaf together in a band. That would be weird.
Yeah, they're both alpha personalities on the stage for sure.
Totally. I mean, who's going to get all the attention?
In those days, Ted's egos was huge, so I don't know.
Oh, well.
Well, cheers to Meatloaf. And on that note, let's hear some commercials to make us feel better. All right, boys and girls out there in podcast land, it's time to do a little intellectual poetry where Danny and I read the lyrics to a song to each other, and we have to guess the name of the artist and the song for bonus points.
Yeah, and we haven't done this in a while, but this is really hard because without the melody, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, and the fact that I can barely read makes it even tougher. So I got a song for you this week. It's a song that you know from a band that you know. that we grew up with, and we probably still like to this day. So it's nothing obscure. So good luck. Here we go. We stand accused, but you lie. Varicose veined finger, prejudiced evil mind. The youngest, strongest, effed living fast. But you're a sapsucker, you ain't gonna last. What do you think?
Oh, man. When you first started out, I thought I recognized it, but is it Judas Priest?
Negative. All right. This is an American band that came out in the late 80s.
All right.
Your twisted mouths feed the minds of babies. Taught from birth, it's crime that pays. One man's fortune is another man's pain. But that's how that you play the game. And then it goes into the chorus. I can't say that.
Oh, wow. Is it Loverboy?
Wow, we're getting further away. Definitely not Loverboy.
Okay.
Wow, that's an interesting guess. Okay, because these lyrics are kind of serious. All right. Ladies and gentlemen and members of the jury, all rise, because here comes the boss. He's your big brother, the silver-tongued double cross. His collar starched white, big black briefcase held tight. It holds the power to your demise, the corporation Blue Sedan. Behind the wheel, Mr. Businessman, he thinks he's got the upper hand, but he misunderstands. All right, so it's a U.S. band, late 80s. It's a five-piece.
That's Skid Row.
It is Skid Row. Congrats. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite lines of all. All rise, because here comes the boss. That's Mudkicker.
Correct. I hate the child of your disgrace. Mudkicker in my face. I feel the world's being crucified.
I love that song.
It's a good one. In fact, that entire Slave to the Grind album is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember I bought that right before we were going on a vacation when it first came out. And I don't remember where we were going. It doesn't matter. And I listened to it the entire vacation. It just got ingrained in my head.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Sebastian just finished a tour doing that whole album.
He certainly did. And the Skid Row band actually played down in Key West. There was a four-day festival, and they played down there.
With
their new lead singer. But they haven't recorded with him yet, so I'm waiting to see how it is.
Yeah, that looked like a really cool festival. I wish I'd have gone.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Key West, it's awesome. Apparently, it's like 3,000 to 4,000 people.
Yeah.
Looked like it's a nice little venue. Everybody could see.
Yeah. It's all outside.
Yeah, well, maybe one of these days. When we retire, we'll go down to Florida.
Nice.
Okay, so.
All right.
Good one.
I got one for you. This is, you definitely know the band. This song was on their greatest hits, so.
Journey.
No. Okay. All right, so here we go. I can't believe summer's almost here. I made it through another year. Even if alone, but there's no tears in my eyes. Life's still full of surprise. I'm not looking for a one-night stand. Stand behind you, and I watch you from a mile away, wishing you could be the one, but not near this way. Any ideas?
No idea at all. I'm going to say Bon Jovi.
No, that's...
not even close.
No, but it is an American band. We've seen them.
Okay.
And I saw them together, so.
Well, that narrows it down to about 50.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I got to know your name. I must know who you are. Yeah. I look at you, and I know who you are. You're just a little bit too far from my home. But please don't get me wrong. Even though it has been long, I hope I never sing my last song without someone. Any ideas?
No idea at all. So you said it's an American band.
Yep. We saw them at M3. I'll give you that clue.
Okay, that narrows it down to about 30. LA Guns.
No, that is incorrect.
Oh, I have no idea right
album,
now.
The album that this was on came out in 1988, and it was Krang's Album of the Year.
Ooh.
In 1988.
Okay.
And we saw them on the back, the wood stage.
Oh, the back area. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I stand behind you and I watch you from a mile away, wishing you could be the one, but not near this way. That's kind of the chorus, but it doesn't tell you anything. I got to know your name. I must know who you are. Yeah. So, and it keeps going the same thing. Same thing repeated.
Jeez. Is it Firehouse?
No, it is not. It's a power trio.
Oh, God. Is it King's X?
Yes, that's it. Any idea what the song is?
No.
Well, they had a thing of naming their songs that don't make any sense, really. But this one's called Goldilocks.
Yeah, that's one of their most famous songs.
Yep.
Yeah, I like King's X, but that's not one of the songs I really love from King's X. So,
I love this song. It's I love the chord progression, but it's a very King's X type chord progression.
And the thing that stood out with us seeing King's X was how freaking tight they were.
Oh my gosh, tight, unbelievable. You know, when they're doing all this syncopation stuff and they're standing on the front of the stage and they're not looking at each other. But then they're hitting it like right on. It was ridiculous.
I mean, I love it. They count in their heads like they were doing that start stop the stuff, and they'd stop for 8 seconds, and they all come back in eight seconds later, exact same time. Are they counting in their head? Or have they just been doing it so long they know when to come back in?
It's like, I think at that point they just feel it, because sometimes it was 8 seconds, sometimes it's 4.5, sometimes it's 7.
It was ridiculous.
It was crazy. And so just to see that, and they could tell that they were blowing people away because they were laughing and smiling. Yeah. And it was, they knew, but.
And you remember, what band was on the side of the stage watching them?
No.
Loudness.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, you know, you're good when there's other bands on the side of the stage watching you play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
They were cool. That was cool to see them because that was the only time I've seen them.
Yeah, apparently Doug Pinnick lives here in Santa Clarita, but I have not run into him yet.
No?
No, not yet.
Well, need to get out more.
Him or me?
Exactly.
I'm out there, but we're just probably not in the same, you know, running the same circles, you know?
Yeah, probably not.
I'm running around a high school gym is watching my son play freshman basketball, so.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, probably not hanging around the high schools.
Probably not his scene.
No. He's probably hanging out with George, yeah. Mr. Lynch.
Yep.
And Zach Wilde and all those guys.
That's not your scene?
It is, but I don't go to the same places. Well, if you go to Bobby Blotzer, well, he's the one I see all the time. If you go to the mall where they have the Canyon Club, he's always there when I'm there. So I think he's following me. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, he's stalking you or something.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, so good job with the little intellectual poetry there. I think you beat me on that one.
Yeah.
You got a little quicker than I did.
I'm afraid I did.
Wow. Okay, we got to change things here. So let's move on to something else. Let's play Who the Hell Is This?
Yeah, we haven't done this one in a while either. This is like a throwback show.
No, yes, right. And let's have you go first this time.
Okay.
I'm going to try to guess your song.
Now it's time to play Who the Hell Is This?
All right, so this is where we play 4 10-second clips, and you got to guess who the artist is, and if you know the song, even better, but usually this is pretty tough because we kind of go kind of deep on these.
Sometimes.
You're not going to hear Iron Maiden or Journey, or unless it's something sang by somebody that's not even in the band anymore, or something weird.
From the guitar tech.
Yeah.
All right, so this one you gave me this week, is this going to be difficult for me?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I think you'll get it by the third one.
Okay.
By the third clip.
So everybody out there, let's play this together. I'm going to play the first track here. Oh, some cool slide playing there. Oh, God, who do I had a inkling, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm going to guess Adam Baum.
No, that is not correct. This is a lot more recent. This is from last year.
Last year. Oh, boy. We're going to make it difficult now. From last year.
Last year, 2021.
Okay. All right. Here comes track two. Hear the voice calling as I'm crawling on the ground. Man, that voice is a little familiar.
A little bit, probably.
Is it Rough Cut?
No. This is a... I'm going to say they had an album and an EP released last year.
Okay.
Mainly two guys, but I'll let you listen to the third installment here.
Okay. I'm out of time, trying to make the best of my life. You're right, I think I got it. Is it Smith Kotzen?
Yes, it is. Nice job.
Yes.
Yeah, I figured you'd get it on the third one because Richie's voice is pretty succinct.
Yeah, I definitely got it off of that. And they started their tour here in Southern California. They started at the Whiskey. And did you know who the bass player for the Smith Kotzen band is?
No.
It's Richie's wife.
Really?
Yeah, a very pretty lady, too.
Well, no doubt.
Well, she's obviously a great bass player, too, playing with those guys. There's a four-piece going out.
Nice.
So they were supposed to start in the Ventura Theater, which is probably about 55 minutes away from me. And that one got postponed till I believe the 28th, which is 5 days from now. So they went ahead and started at the Whiskey. And they're running some get dates in California and I think one in Vegas. And then the end in Ventura again on the 28th. So
They're not coming anywhere on the East Coast.
No, right? I think
they're trying to see them.
They live out here, so I think they're just doing it. We're going to do a week of dates. So that's what they did. So sorry.
Yeah, it's too bad. I wonder how they feel about playing these small clubs when, you know, the Adrian's in Iron Maiden, which they don't even sniff small clubs. I mean, unless it's a 100,000-seat stadium. They're not interested. And Richie with Mr. Big, Winery Dogs, they're not playing little clubs either. So
I think they're just doing this for fun. So, hey, we put up these, album and an EP. We're going to go out and play this stuff for a week. And just for fun for these guys. And I believe both of those guys have projects going on after that. And they do play an Iron Maiden song.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know which one? It's one that Adrian Smith wrote.
Well, yeah, he's started to write a lot, but I'm going to say Wasted Years.
You'd be correct.
Yes. That's like his most famous song that he wrote.
Yeah, so that'd be pretty cool to see. So,
I guess he sings it.
Yeah, I guess. Well, he both could.
So Richie's wife is playing...
bass.
An Iron Maiden song on bass?
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Well, apparently if she can hang with those two guys, so she's probably pretty good.
Oh, yeah, because they could get anybody...
And
they want to play with them.
And I bet you if you go online, you're going to find, you're already going to see performances online to just check them out.
I definitely will because that's cool. I mean, these guys have played with Steve Harris and Billy Sheehan.
Yeah.
You kidding? They're like the two best bass players in the world. And then Richie's wife, she must be good. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm going to go yet or not, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Everybody's freaking out about COVID around here. I was like,
yeah, here too. We had tickets to go see Dirty Honey and Mammoth down in Baltimore, and they moved the beginning of their tour to later, to the end of the tour, which I can't go on the date that we had or the location. So I'm thinking I might go to Philly and see them. But those two Dirty Honey albums are great, and you guys, anybody that listens, know what I think of Mammoth. So.
Oh, I didn't know that all got moved. Breaking news from Danny Davis.
Yeah. They moved, I think, their first, like, 10 dates or so to the end of the tour. And Baltimore and Philly, those are two of the dates that moved. And I have to be down in Charlotte for a wedding on the day they're in Baltimore. But the day before we go, they're in Philly. So I'm probably going to go. I'll go by myself. I was going to go with my brother and my daughter. But since I'm going to change to go to Philly, I'll probably just end up going.
So you're
going to
get your tickets reimbursed?
Yeah.
Well, yep. We're still going to go. Well, we want a full report when you
go see that. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those two Dirty Honey albums are really good.
Yeah, we highly recommend them on here.
Yeah.
Now, it's your turn.
My turn for who the hell is this? All right.
And I'm not sure if you've heard this, but, my son is talking in the background. Oosh.
Oy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this one is this one is interesting. I don't know if you've heard this, so.
Okay, let's see.
Any ideas?
It really sounds like early Kiss, but I don't know that riff.
Oh.
It sounds familiar, though. Like, oh, man. I don't know who it is. I'm going to say it's early Kiss, but something I haven't heard.
That's a good guess, but it's not early Kiss. Okay. Your first hint is this is a four-piece. It's a four-piece band, and I believe they're American.
All right. I've heard it, but let me listen to clip two.
Okay. Sounds like early Kiss, doesn't it?
Oh my, that's Paul Stanley singing. It's got to be.
It's not. He's going to have a brain here. He's trying to think what it is.
It's an album you just sent me, actually. That Classic 78.
Correct. It is Classic 78.
Yes.
Did you listen?
What's that deal? I don't know anything about them.
They're basically a group of four fans who put this band together, and their idea is we want this to sound like classic Kiss songs, and we're going to play it like classic Kiss, but they're not Kiss songs.
Okay.
They sound almost like Kiss demos.
Are they, are these cover songs?
No.
Or are they new songs?
No, they're their own songs made to sound like Kiss songs.
That could have been from like Rock and Roll Over or Destroyer or Dressed to Kill, easy.
Yeah. Very, very easily.
I've listened to that like once or twice.
Yeah.
And that just sounded familiar.
That's from the first album called The Unoriginals. Because if you know, the first three Kiss albums were put out as a box set called The Originals.
Right.
And this band, Classic 78, also has a new album called Phantoms out. So whenever I get that, we'll put that out. So, hey, play the fourth track just to give everybody more of a taste of what it sounds like. It has the little chorus in there.
All right, here we go. Never knock me down. You never see me fall.
When you see me out on the street, I'll be standing tall. It sounds like Paul, doesn't it?
Totally.
And
standing tall. I remember that song now.
Now I'm also they have a guy who sounds like Gene, and they have a guy who sounds like Ace.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, and they sound, and a lot of Kiss fans are getting into them because they sound like old Kiss. There's actually a video for Standing Tall out there. The four guys are just playing, and they all have white face paint on. That's the only thing they have, and they're playing the song. There's also another band out of Scandinavia called Starman. These guys,
I've seen those albums. I haven't listened to it yet.
They also have that. I mean, they're not as blatant as Classic 78 is sounding like old Kiss, but they got a singer who sounds like Paul Stanley, and they have three albums out, and their albums definitely don't have that Kiss sound, but two of the guys in the band could be Gene and Paul.
Yeah. Well, they wear the makeup.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, it's white face paint and then, like, different colors around their eyes. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So you got two bands that kind of sound like Kiss and they kind of wear makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the classic 78 really sounds like old school Kiss.
Oh, absolutely. When I first heard that, I was like, this has to be the point.
Yep. And I really like that Standing Tall song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
The other ones I haven't listened to as much. I think I listened through it once, and I was like, man, I hope Danny hasn't listened to this yet so I can play this and really stump him.
I listened to it the one when you first sent it to me, and I haven't listened since, and that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But nice.
Yeah, good one, huh?
Yeah, and it was Paul Stanley's birthday recently. He just turned 70.
Jeez.
70. Good Lord.
I know. Tell me about it. All right.
But
so now we got to end the show with a song, and I believe it's my turn this week. And I want to play something from the new Kissing Dynamite album.
Nice.
And I believe it's called Not the End of the Road.
All right.
And that's the name of the album, and that's the name of the song I'm going to play. So these guys are kind of on a roll. They're trying to break. I believe they do well in Germany, and that's about it. And there's three videos from the new album. One of them songs called Yoko Ono, Coming Home, and Not the End of the Road. So if you like this when you hear it, go out there and buy it. We got to support young bands playing music like this.
Absolutely. I don't think I really listened to this one.
Oh, you haven't listened to it yet? It's pretty good.
No, I haven't listened to it yet. I do like some of the older Kiss and Dynamite, and we had them on the, we played some of them on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you stumped me when you put a Kiss and Dynamite song in one of your 6 and 30s.
It was a something killer, Psycho Killer.
Psychological killer, psychic something. Killer, something like that.
Yeah, I know Psycho Killer is a song by the Talking Heads, but.
Yeah, that one. But yeah, check these guys out. Young guys from Germany, Kissing Dynamite with Not the End of the Road. Check it out.
A soul reached out unstoppable. Wildland fires lost control. It's when you're giving up, a thunderstorm erases a path, wipes out everything we have. It's easier when you're giving up. But I know the times get better. Don't give up, my friend. We got it in our hands. This is
it's not.